Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Madame Perry's Salon, everybody. Just got through feeding the beast here. You're going to become extortionist once the show comes on. Once the headphones go on, the corgis become savage extortionists, like a gang. So I am so happy to have here a fantastic lady. I don't know how I got her, but her name is Izzy Church. You probably see me post all kinds of stuff on all my social media about her. Izzy, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Come on in, sit down. I hope you like what I've done with the place. People say it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle.
Oh, my
goodness.
On
iTunes
with Jeannie.
Gorgeous. So what do you think? Yeah, thank you.
I
knew you'd know how to come through the little beaded curtain there. I knew that would be a good entrance.
It's perfect. It just flows like the wind.
Yeah, you can just feel the drama right there. You just feel the excitement, the entrance, making an entrance, which is something that you know a lot about. Now, got you here right now because you're promoting, right now you're on this whirlwind promotion, it seems, of your new book, Angry Movie Guy.
Yes, I am doing my best to spread the good word, the real good word, the Angry Movie Guy good word.
Angry Movie Guy is hot, and, you know, I read it, and I got to tell you what, I'm sure everybody tells you what they like about it at first, right? I think I love the fact that it's fast-paced, you know, it's got some fantasy, but it's got a lot of believability, a lot of legitimacy. It keeps you hooked in, is what I like, with Charlie, and it's like you like him, you don't, you know, you feel for him, you don't, you do, you don't, you kind of go back and forth with him, it's like, and then you start. Or maybe it's just me. I start talking to him. Charlie, don't do that. Charlie, don't do this. And then Astral Charlie, I love.
Charlie hears you. Oh, good, good. I love it. I love that you love Astral Charlie. Yeah, he's you know, he's out there. But, you know, the Charlie, I think that that's what's great about this romantic comedy is that there's just a lot of things that you would never expect in a rom-com. It gives you everything you do expect, you know, boy meets girl, boy falls in love, boy needs to chase girl because he's, you know, got to win her heart over. But then it has so many elements that are not your typical rom-com average, you know, average to the reader. You know, it gives them a surprise element that I think is interesting and hopefully. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I do. And I read a lot of books. I'm sure you do, too. But I read so many things. And sometimes you do get tired of the, you know, sometimes things kind of get a little lame. You know, people kind of doing a formula. And it's so refreshing to have something different. And yet you could feel, you know, it never felt, I think the first time I hit with Astral Charlie in there, kind of like, what? You know, and then it's like, but it never felt contrived. And that was one of the cool parts about it, too.
That's awesome. That's very cool, yeah. I mean, I know people, when they just don't expect it. So the first time it gets introduced, it probably is like that. Like, to me, it was just so normal. Oh, yeah, he'll have an astral self. That sounds perfectly logical to me. But that has a lot to do with him. You know, he is visiting his therapist, and he's, like, really, he's doing Jungian therapy and, like, different types of therapy that just trying to get back to whatever has been holding him back as a person. And so I thought, you know, an astral sort of id version of himself is only appropriate for him to, you know, get back to his true identity, I guess, his true self.
So, how did you come with the idea of this story? I mean, I think you've been a writer or storyteller all your life, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've been doing it since I was a kid. So, and so this is, you know, this is something that started actually a long time ago. I've been working on it for a while, and I kind of put it on the shelf and then took it back off. And I'm really glad that I did, because it had everything that I wanted when I first wrote it. But when I took it back off the shelf, there was a lot of new elements that I incorporated into the book that weren't there. And if I don't think they, at the time that I started it initially, I don't think that the ideas that are now in the book with this other movie, Lost in Her Eyes, as an element with Jack Waters and Edie Greene, I don't think those elements would have happened initially when I first started writing the book. So I'm happy that sometimes, you know, people say they put something on their shelf and take it back off, and or they never get back to it. But this is just kind of an encouraging sort of word for all those writers who do that, that, you know, there's always new elements of the story that can kind of pop out at you at any point.
Charlie is he's a film critic, right? He's a TV show.
Yeah.
Always on the air. But this is a world that you know quite well. You know the world that you're writing about.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working in media and film for a while now. So that was my studies. I started in film school, and then I ended up finishing in writing for film and television. That was my studies. And then I did, I had some time at DreamWorks where I was studying books to film, so kind of analyzing books that they could be translated into film projects, and acting as well. I studied at an acting conservatory for several years, and that's my pursuit. You know, so my pursuit to happiness is film and television and novel writing and storytelling, you know, just giving people a good story, and, you know, hopefully they can, with novels, visualize it, you know, from beginning to end is what I hope.
Now,
but
then,
not intruding not intruding on their own imagination. And with the novels, you got to let the people have their own imagination as well, you know, work in.
Well, now, is there anybody that's going to come out of your past working in film or television or DreamWorks that's going to say, oh, yeah, look, this is me, you're writing about me?
No.
Am I Charlie?
Nobody's Charlie. Charlie's very fictional. He comes from, actually, the beginning of Charlie came from being at, at school, like at the university, just my first introduction to cinema and school, where it was very analytical. It wasn't like, we want to make movies. We want to sit down and watch good movies and talk about good movies. It was much more analytical, and they really wanted us to have a different approach to storytelling and not look at it just from what, you know, the general entertainment perspective. So they taught me to have a little more of a critical eye or a keen eye. That was like my first introduction to it. But initially it was jarring to me to hear people tear apart films. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? You just ripped apart a movie I love. But so that was like the spark was like being jarred by listening to others do that. And then just sort of on top of it, I guess sensational characters like that are like Howard Stern, people like that who, you know, they're just kind of have a shock value to them, but yet they're intelligent people who know that they're getting people's attention. They're getting their attention with all of their shocking entertainment. And I thought, well, if I could, movie reviewers intend to say sort of shocking things, I think, but, you know, if I could have somebody who was totally out there in that way, people would be fascinated by it, I thought. So, and he was fascinating to me, and that's what kept me writing it. You know, having this guy who, he wasn't the angry movie guy to start with, but he becomes the angry movie guy because as a regular person, the world didn't want to hear him just give a normal critique of a film. They only liked him when he started shocking them and kind of being sensational.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave him what he wanted, and he kind of lost himself in the process of it, but he regained himself through the, as you know, from reading the book. So,
yeah, so I want to tell, but I don't want to give, I'm not going to give away the ending. You can't.
I know, it's
you
hard,
can't,
right?
You can't beg it out of me. You can't beg it. You can't bribe it out of me either. Well, you could, but I don't think anybody, you know, can, you know. But I think you said once that you said working with writing, with your studies and the fact that you've written for film and television and studied with very high-level acting instructors, that you've gained valuable insight into the human condition and during your theater training as well, and that it strengthened your writing skill, and that this really brought you up to where you are now, actually, with writing the book and you're preparing for the role of the movie, Angry Movie Guy.
Yeah, it really has. It's been really, that acting is so good if you're a writer. I do it because I love acting. I just love being on stage or being in front of the camera as much as I love writing scripts. So, or writing novels. But I think if that isn't something that you do and you're a writer, I think it's very helpful to take an acting class if you're a writer, because it's one thing to sit down and write somebody else's emotions. And it's another thing to portray those emotions. And I think it gives you more insight into your characters, into the human condition, exactly the human condition, and how it feels if your character is embarrassed, to really know those next moments for your character. And it's been extremely helpful for me, and it still is. I'm still acting and doing sketch comedy now, and that's super helpful for my writing. So,
Where do you do comedy? Sketch comedy.
So I'm working with an improv troupe now. I originally studied with UCB, and now I'm working with In Studios, which is a very great group of people that I'm really, happy to be working with. And I do sketch writing with them and just working with them, you know, and practicing and performing, and it's a lot of fun. So,
And where is this? Are you in New York, or are you on the
I'm
West?
In New York. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm in New York City, the amazing Big Apple, where there's something going on at every moment of the day.
I know. I love it. I love it up in New York. And I used to get there 3 or 4 times a year, back at that time, it was because after, 9/11, which is the bad news, was that the ticket prices were so low. And I used to go up there and stay with a lot of friends. There was always shows. And I would think I would have to be rich to live up here, because all I'd want to do is go to there's something going on every night, everywhere.
I know.
And,
it's very challenging.
Yeah, and I know a lot of
people.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter if you've heard of somebody or not, you just walk into a place, and it's going to be stellar. It's going to be just so exciting to hear the music and see shows, whatever it is. And I used to go to places like Cleopatra's Needle or the Iridium or Blue Note. Fez Under Time, do you remember that place? It was at Lafayette and Great Jumps.
I don't know that one. I know Blue Note. I know Blue Note, and you named another one that I'm familiar with, but I don't know
The Iridium?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iridium?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's
awesome.
So much. And Cleopatra's Needle, I think, is around Broadway and 93rd.
I don't know that. I've never been there.
Oh, it's a late, late place. Like, things start swinging around 1 or 2 a.m., so, and the thing is, too, let me ask you this, though, as doing sketch comedy, because I think that's such a fantastic, if you've got the, good writing or good actors with fantastic imagination who are able to think a few steps ahead, it can just leave you just exhausted with laughter, but yet you know it stays with you. It feels good. It's just it's an excitement that you don't get on regular TV or a lot of movies. And
yeah, it's definitely an art form. You know,
do you ever video it?
I don't. No. No, not a lot of videoing. You have to kind of be there to experience it. But, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful to be able to get up on stage. And, you know, it's a little scary, but it's in, you know, if you trust the people that you're working with, something always comes out, you know, because you're working with other talented actors and improvisers. And, yeah, you go out with nothing and people walk away and they're really thrilled by the performance, which is pretty awesome.
Do you do things that involve the audience as well?
Sometimes we involve the audience. For the most part not, but so once in a while it does break away from the traditional, just the audience watching us. You know, sometimes we interact with the audience, or we you know, involve the audience as if we're telling them a story, as if they're just sitting in our living room, like our listeners. So sometimes we'll do something like that. But for the most part, it's performance-based, and we're on stage, and they're watching and enjoying. So.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of video podcasts of short comedy sketches with people. Some are like this one I watch called Foot Soldiers. I don't know if you heard of that.
Foot
Soldiers? It takes place in a shoe shop, a high-end shoe shop for ladies.
That's kind of cool. I haven't seen it. That sounds cool.
And I kind of wandered upon it accidentally, and they're all little short pieces, like between, like, you know, 2 to 5 minutes, but they're funny, and especially if you've ever worked retail. It's even funnier.
Oh, my God. That sounds good. Yeah.
So now, Angry Movie Guy, is there talk about a movie, a film version?
Well, I talk about it all the time. So, yes, there's lots of conversation about it when I'm there. No, I want it to be a movie, so that's like kind of the plan, and my goal for it is to turn it into a film. It's always been the plan for me, is to adapt it for the screen, and I'm hoping that's going to happen. You know, film is a big ball game. You know, it's a big process, and anybody who knows anything about film understands that it's a lot of moving parts, and it's not an overnight process to get a movie made. You know, so I'm pushing towards it because that's my dream. You know, my dream is to see, it's always been to see Angry Movie Guy up on the big screen. So I'm going to continue to push towards that. And when people ask, well, when are we going to see him again? When are we going to see Charlie again? That's where I hope they'll see him. And then from there, maybe then there'll be an Angry Movie Guy 2 book and maybe an Angry Movie Guy 2 film. We'll see.
Angry Movie Guy.
Yeah, son of Angry Movie Guy. Angry Movie Guy is Spawn.
Angry Movie Guy is Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. You never know.
The cover of the book, you know, I put that on the montage that I set out on the event on Facebook. So... for the blog here, the cover of Angry Movie Guy is great. Mm-hmm. Tell us about making that cover.
Oh, that was just a very fun shoot. So actually, that is a friend of mine, George Campbell. Yay, George Campbell. He is like such a trooper. And I called him up and I said, hey, do you mind if I tie you up in film reel for the cover of my book? And he was like, sure. Yeah, that sounds like a good night. So,
what a pal,
exactly. So, yeah, so that's actually That is like film reel that NYU, yay to NYU, they gave me some of their old film reel, and we tied up my friend in it, and those are my legs on the cover, actually. That's me stepping on the film reel.
I had a feeling those were your legs.
Yeah, that's me stepping on there. So, it was just a really fun shoot, and tying it all together and with like the really nice font and for Angry Movie Guy in the front and everything was it was a great process. It didn't start out that way. It took a while to get to the way the cover it looks now. So I'm very proud of it because the photograph was fine from the beginning, but like adding in all the detail that's on the front and the back cover took a little bit of time to really make it what it is today, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy the way it turned out, and I love that my friend allowed me to tie him up. So it was a good shoot.
And it is a great cover, and you're right. It brings in all the themes of the book, right there in one shot, which is not easy to do, but it's fantastic and it's very memorable. But it grabs you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had some good advice. You know, from the beginning, it's like conceptualizing what you want to do and how to tie in. How do you tie in that he's a film critic? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, the elements finally all came together. You know, his tagline is, "I give this film 2 thumbs down and the middle finger." So
that's right.
you might see that he's expressing himself fully. If you look closely at him being tied up, he might be giving you the bird.
Yeah, I'll keep a peeper out for that when I look at the cover again. So, but let me ask you, though, you've also got quite a, I don't know where to lead with the music or just to say, is it true your friends call you the juggler?
Yeah, some of my friends do, they do, yeah, because I've got a lot of projects going on. And, you know, I like it. I like working on multiple creative projects at the same time. It can be challenging, but I think when you're in the arts, thing is, you know, it wasn't always like, let me backtrack. Like, I wasn't always working on multiple projects. A lot of my studies and a lot of everything I've done, you're very focused on something. To finish a book, you need to be very focused on it, right? To do anything in music, you need to be very focused. And only after you've spent a good amount of time focusing your attention can you try to start maneuvering more than one creative project at a time. I've gotten a lot better at it now, and so now I'm able to, further multiple passions that I have, and I think purposefully, where as before that was a lot more challenging, but now I can really, you know, further a lot of the things that I love, writing, storytelling, music, and illustration and art and all that. It's become a lot easier. It's never completely easy, but you know, it's definitely easier than it was in the past. So, yeah.
You know, as I also had put up not only the Movie Guy book trailer, Angry Movie Guy book trailer, but also I had been posted one of your videos of the song Summertime. So we know, and also from the photos and the montage and people who are your fans already, that you're also a musician, singer, and songwriter.
Yeah.
So tell us about that part of your life and your music.
Sure. So music is something that has been like a growing passion and evolving passion for me. It's really like a year ago, year and a half ago maybe now, I was working on actually another project, a television project pilot that I wrote. And the lead character in that project was a singer, rock and roll singer. And so I was able to focus on my music a lot because of that, because that's what that project needed. It needed to be very focused on music. And so I did a lot more recording during that time period. And I actually put out an EP of music and shot a couple of music videos for that project. And that's another project that I definitely want to circle back to. And music is, it really, being in that world, because being in recording and shooting this video was, I had so much to do with the project, and I'm very thankful that, you know, that project fueled a lot of things inside of me creatively that I had kind of, I don't want to say I hadn't, like, shut the door on it, but I wasn't, like, fully paying attention to a lot of my musical talents or abilities, because it is challenging to focus on more than one thing, and people always want you to be one thing or another, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just easier for them to relate to you. But that was very fun for me, and I wrote a lot of music during that time period, and I really have yet to, like, I'm just, like, at the beginning stages of exploring music. Like, I want to be in recording. I want to do all that. So that's probably, I'll probably put something out in 2016, at least another single, you know, maybe more, really depending. But right now I'm focusing on the book. So as you can imagine, it's a lot of energy with the book. And especially when you want to make it a movie too. So I have to kind of keep focused on what I'm doing, and, you know, later on in 2016, when things get a little more freed up in my time, I can maybe put out some more music. But I'm always still writing music all the time, still, you know, humming new tunes to myself, still feeding that dream. So
yeah, I can tell that you've got, yeah, I want, and I hope you'll circle back to the project with the pilot with the singer. And I see a lot of action, because I feel like, you know, we're just, you've done so much already. You've got such a great body of work already to date. And yet I think we're just barely seeing the beginning of Izzy Church, who's about to explode with even more for us, and music and books and films. And I think it's fantastic. And I can tell that, you know, you're not only gifted in several areas and a very creative and very intelligent woman, but girl, you can rock a stage. And those pictures, you own the stage everywhere you're on. The video, the photo that I have up here, is where you belong. And I think it is my belief that if this is what is inside you, if you've got this gift and you've got the ability, that is your soul's purpose. And if you don't use it, and if you don't share it and keep developing it, I just think a part of your soul will die. So fortunately for us out here, the readers and the listeners and the watchers, that you're not slowing down. You're about to break it even bigger for us. And
yeah, I'm about to take a start into a slow jog, people. Just been walking.
<Okay.
laughs> Been walking now, but I'll take a slow jog. So try to keep up with the pace. So you don't want to see me sprinting. I ran track.
Oh, you did?
So, you know.
You know, I am not surprised. I am not surprised. And, oh,
yeah,
and you also
keep saying that about the music. That's so sweet of you. So nice, because, and so pleasant to hear. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's just, and you also, and I understand you, and we're a model with Wilhelmina Talent Agency, or model agency, rather.
Yeah, so that's what really kind of, acting and modeling was how it first came to New York. That was a while ago now, but I've been here in the introduction, you know, to New York. I was living in Arizona at the time, and I had, I was working with Ford Arizona. Is very different than Ford New York, but it's still the same agency. It's just a division of it. But it's, you can imagine, the work in Arizona is very different than the work in New York. So I was with Ford, and I was doing, like, you know, small stuff in Arizona and working on the weekends doing acting and practicing. And I got an opportunity to come to New York for a audition. And when I was here, one of the managers, the talent manager, said that she liked me. She thought I had talent. And so that's how I came to New York. They, like, found me a place to come, and I moved out here, and I started doing modeling and more, like, commercial acting and auditioning. And then once I was here, it's, like, it's a whole other game once you get to New York and you realize, wow, New York is not Arizona. It's not the same thing, you know. It's, like, very – there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of very talented people here, and it's a grind, and you have to be always on your toes, and you got to hustle, and you got to be, you know, willing to get out there every single day and be seen and be heard and be in front of people all the time. And you have to have a strong head on your shoulders and be able to take rejection and be able to, like, deal with all the bumps, because there's going to be bumps when you come out here. I mean, some people, there's always the stories where people, you know, have those, like, fairy tale stories, and I'm sure that happens for people, you know, but I think there's a lot of people that more than likely, most people have a story where they have to really, you know, gain respect of those around them and put in their time and put in their effort and show the people who they are. And so I've put a lot of time in here, you know, doing the acting conservatory and doing film school and all that stuff, and just learning the craft a lot more. It brought me here, but then, like, learning the craft, and I did do modeling as well. And that was fun. And it gave me some fun, you know. I got to do some things I never thought I was going to do through that, you know, for sure. It was a lot of good exposure to a world that is, you know, you see the glitz and glamour, and then you kind of get to see what's behind it all. So that was kind of cool.
And you know, there's so many thousands and thousands of people want to go to New York or Los Angeles or Hollywood, and so much competition, so many other people, and so many good people, very talented people, you know, can't keep up with the competition or whatever it is. You know, maybe it's the money, maybe it's just it just all seems too much, or maybe somebody doesn't get the break. There's just so many factors involved, and yet for you to have the opportunity where they wanted you to, you know, you had the opportunity to come through the modeling agency through Ford to New York, and they liked you, probably loved you, wanted you, you know, made a way for you to stay. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. That doesn't happen to everyone. And yet still, it's oh my gosh, people still, you're right, they're always on a hustle.
Yeah, it's still a challenge, you know.
Yeah, I was telling you earlier, when I used to go to New York a lot, there was one club I would go to, there was a restaurant, I don't know if it's still there, but it was called The Time. It was around, I think, about 54th. And Great Jones, or Lafayette and Great Jones. Anyway, it's and underneath the restaurant was a club called Fez, or they called the Fez under Time, because it was underneath the restaurant. And even when I saw people there perform, you know, I think I used to go see Anita O'Day a lot, and I saw Karen Finley, the performance artist, and I would see other people on there. But people would still be, even if they were in a show or there or just having dinner or just coming to watch a show, everybody has their cards, and everybody's saying, you know, come see my show tomorrow night. And as you're filing out, somebody's, you know, not really, but some people are always there handing you their card. Hey, my name is so-and-so. Please come see my show. I'll be at this place. I'll be there. You know, hope you can be.
Yeah.
The people, but they're having to work, and this might be at 2 or 3 a.m., you know, but they're out there at night working and just trying to do everything they can to get, to keep their show going. So it's not easy. Well, I'm going to take just a moment in case you want to get some water or something, and I need to say hello to a few other folks that people know about it. And back in a couple of minutes. So everybody knows what happens after Thanksgiving. There's Black Friday. There's the big sales, people buying gifts for Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year, all kind of stuff, birthdays. You know, earlier this year I told you about some friends at a place called Explosion Luck. Now, this is an online store, and I'm going to give you the link on the page here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook, but it's called Explosion Luck, and all of their gifts are art, and everything has a feng shui purpose or influence. One thing they've got new this time is the feng shui grasshopper art statues. They also have antique Chinese bronze incense burners and antique Tibetan amber pendant necklaces it's called Soul of the Tiger. And these are gifts for him or her, the antique Tibetan necklaces. But I'm going to put the pictures on Facebook like I do. And I'm also going to be sharing this on social media and on Twitter under Lone Wolf Jen. That's Lone Wolf, J-E-N-N, for Madame Perry Salon. And so you can get some gifts there. Another thing for people that like to read, I met a guy, his name is Herbert Williams, and his book, he's got a new book coming out, or he's just launched it. It's called Once a Night I Cry. And what his book is about, Once a Night I Cry, it's about his coming of age in the late 60s, early 70s, and not only as a gay man, but as a gay black man. He says the series of books begins with the unfolding of the story of a young life as it stays true to answering questions that in secret many would like to know, but guard in their hearts and heads with fear for shame of being exposed or seemingly in support of it. It offers answers to youth and makes the complicated and taboo comfortable to discuss, simple to understand, and perhaps less stigmatic. And as you know, I live in Atlanta. We have a very large out gay population here. But I always feel for people I know who have had to hold back, and whether it's because of, you know, where they live, their family, their religious belief, felt that they had to hide who they are. So hopefully his book will help a lot of people go through the same thing. And Herb Williams will be a guest on Madame Perry Salon sometime soon as well. And another pal that's coming to the show is going to be coming to our friend Kenya Colbert's show. You know, my BFF Kenya has two shows, Everything Relationships, which is an adult show on Fridays, but she also has a show called Through the Looking Glass with Kenya, and it's a children's show. And Coolamundo, L-A-M-U-N-D-O, Coolamundo is the coolest lady I know. She lives in Germany, and she has these fantastic books. They're rhyming books. They're illustrated about Aluk. Aluk is a bird from outer space. I didn't make this up. That's where he's from. One of the books is Aluk's Dance in France, and the other is Luna and Aluk's Funny Food Book. She has songs, read-along video, audio books, and you can see them on Amazon or look her up at coolamundo.com, and I'll be sharing that everywhere as well. And then she's actually going to be this Saturday, which I think is December the 5th at noon Eastern on Through the Looking Glass with Kenya Colbert and Madame Perry back here in the genie bottle with the fantastic Isabella, but she says we can call her Izzy Church, writer of Angry Movie Guy and musician, model, performer, singer. Get back in here, Izzy, and talk to us, please.
I'm back.
Hi.
Yay.
And so, do you get a chance to perform music much these days?
No, I haven't been performing that much. Unfortunately, I need to do that. I definitely need to. I want it, but it's complicated because right now it's really I got to focus on my book. But I really, it's like. Soon I'll be back out there, and we're near 2016. The book is coming out in February, so after March or something like that, some of the other creative things like the music and stuff like that I can pick back up on. But right now I'm really trying to. This has been such a long process with the book that I'm trying to focus on it and keep it going and get the word out, because as it's such a challenge, it's like you gotta spread the word as much as you possibly can to people and let them know. And I'm so proud of the book. And so, to, you know, and just I think people will like it. I think there's so much in it that people will like that it took me a long time before I let it out there to the world. And now I'm like, okay, I've had it in my hands for a very long time. So I have to, I really felt like even though music is calling me and I want to be in their recording, I need to give the book what it deserves because, and also for the readers to, the readers so that they can, you know, people need something funny. They need something funny during the day to make them laugh. There's so much crazy stuff going on in the world and we need, you know, you watch the news.
You are not kidding. There is all kind of insanity out there. And anything you can do to bring, you know, something, give us a good feeling, give us a smile, give us a laugh. Angry Movie Guy. And I'm going to say Angry Movie Guy is fantastic. And you, where can people find the book? And where can we find you? Are you out on a book tour right now? Or, you're on a podcast tour.
Yeah, pretty much right now. That's what I've been doing because the book is coming out in February. So it's just really pre-ordering right now. People can pre-order the book on Amazon or they can go to angrymovieguy.com and they can pre-order it that way. And then once it is released in February, then, you know, we'll do a launch party. And then, you know, start exploring other events and book fairs and stuff like that with it. But go ahead and, you know, go on Amazon and pre-order it because that's, you know, I want people to, as soon as it comes out in February, to have it in their hands. And we've done a lot of pre-orders already, so I'm, like, really excited about that. And but it's just nice that people are interested in the book and they're feeling like they're going to get something good. And that I had a lot of good reviews because we let the ebook come out for a select period of time. We did, sent it out to several reviewers and several other people. And I got a tremendous response from people. And it's, you know, at 5 stars right now on Amazon. So that's really good and exciting, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback on Goodreads from the people who have read it, and Kirk has gave it a great review, which was really awesome to me, and you know, so yeah, people can go on and pre-order it, and then also just follow along with me because, you know, we'll be doing giveaways basically in December. There's going to be starting giveaways, more giveaways in January. And I'm going to have a street team in New York that's going to be out helping me promote it. All like revving up to the official launch, which is in February, right around Valentine's Day, because it is a romantic comedy.
You know, I was going to say it'll make a great Valentine's gift. It'll be a great Valentine's movie, too, but it'll be a great Valentine's gift.
Well, maybe next year and. No, maybe not. That'd be too soon. 2017. Yeah, 2016 would be a little. That won't work. But that's when it's coming out. Hold on. 2017. Maybe it'll be a great release for the actual film version. You never know.
I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Well, Izzy Church, thank you so much for being here, Madame Perry Salon. And so I want to tell everybody again. Go to Izzy Church. It's I-Z-Z-Y. You can see it everywhere. Izzy Church, as in, it's like a temple of entertainment, Izzy Church. And you can get Angry Movie Guy. You can pre-order it now. You can get it on Amazon. It's fantastic. Trust me, I love it. I'm going to tell you one of the scenes I can't wait to see when it's a movie is when she's when he's trying to woo her after he's just torn her apart, and she's throwing all the gifts out the window, and the cameras all line up, and all the news stations line up every day to see her throw gifts out the window that he's giving her. And I'm not going to tell you what's happening, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, that's a great part. That's awesome.
But I could see that, you know, I could see that happening the way, you know, as I was reading it, just like, whee, going out the window. That was, that was a great, those are great scenes. So, Angry Movie Guy, Izzy Church, what else do you want to say to people besides bye, Angry Movie Guy?
Oh, well, just that thank you for listening, and also that I appreciate any sort of feedback. So if you read it and you want to, you know, hit me up, then please do. And when you go on angrymovieguy.com, you can send me an email if you want to be invited to the launch, if you're in New York City, because that's when we're going to have the launch. And or if you're visiting and you're like, hey, I'm actually going to be there in February. When is it? Let me know, because it's going to be a great, great event and a lot of fun. And so if you follow along on Twitter at Listen to Izzy, or excuse me, Instagram is Listen to Izzy Church, if anybody who's on Instagram. And we're going to be posting lots of funny photos there very soon, because our street team is going to be doing this whole thing with Instagram. So get on to Listen to Izzy Church.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, Listen to Izzy Church on Instagram, or Angry Movie Guy, either one. Angry Movie Gal, excuse me, on Instagram. And then on Twitter, it's Izzy Church 222. And then on Facebook, it's just my name, Izzy Church. Follow along, and you'll get to hear about all the fun events that are happening. And I really appreciate this. It's been a pleasure speaking with
it
you.
Has,
and
oh, but it has with you, and I'm so grateful that you gave so much time. But I've got one. Actually, I've got a question that's come in for you.
Okay.
Yes. But before I give you the question, too, I want to say thanks for mentioning the street team. You know, I'm an entertainment publicist, and I always tell clients, get a street team. People go, oh, what? What do I do with that? What do I make? You know, and you can tell them, street teams, they're valuable. They're your evangelist. So how to keep making these church things here, or motifs. Okay, so anyway, there's a guy named David Hurley. Delightful guy, very intelligent. He's a poet, author, and the publisher, a creator of Subtlety Magazine. And his latest book, well, he's got a new coming out, but the last one was Sharon Tate and the Daughters of Joy. This, he has a question. He says, excuse me, he says, very impressive writing, singing, acting, modeling, foxy. I enjoyed your demo reel, and I'm very curious about Angry Movie Guy. I do hope you find a way to have it made or adapted into a movie, or how about a TV series? And he says, can you tell us more about Third Culture Creative and how it came about?
Yeah. So Third Culture Creative is a media boutique development company, which I run in New York City. And basically it is a place for me to really develop my own intellectual property here, but I also develop other people's intellectual property. Or their ideas. Somebody just has a great idea and they want to see it come to fruition and they're not really sure how to go about it. They can contact me. You can go to thirdculturecreative.com and you'll see all the services that we do. But, you know, we help people need help with either screenwriting. Sometimes they want to do something with a short film, commercial stuff, whatever it may be, but it's media services. So I really like to help people make their dreams come true. You know, that's really, it's me, that's what I'm doing for myself, and I like to help other people see their ideas blossom and help them create their dreams, because I think there's so many people that, you know, put their dreams on the back burner for one reason or another, and it's a shame that happens so much, and I want to help people to take it off the back burner and put it back on the front burner, and so that's what Third Culture Creative is really about. It's about helping those dreams come true, and Angry Movie Guy is a dream for me. And moving it forward. I had illustrators working with me at Third Culture Creative and people on the cover of the book and the design and everything working with me. And I have other projects that we're developing, an animation project, which I'm really excited about, called Suffer Club. And I'm working with a talented group of animators and illustrators who
It's a 2D, 3D animation. I'm a big fan of Seth MacFarlane, and it's kind of in that South Park or American Dad sort of vein. And so that's something I've been working on, as well as some other fun projects that I can't give away yet, but that are coming out in 2016. But yeah, that's what we do, and helping people make their dreams come true and developing my own intellectual property at the same time.
I like it. I like it. David Hurley, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question.
And all right. Well, I got to say, the last question I have for you is, will you come back in February?
Yeah, I would love
Yay.
To.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, when it's officially out and people have it in their hands.
in their hot little mitts, yeah.
Yeah, and, I can't wait.
And they can tell me, oh, my God, Madam Perry, you were right. I love this book. I love Angry Movie Guy. So, great. Well, thank you so much, Izzy Church. And everybody get Angry Movie Guy. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can go to Izzy's website and our social media. And we'll see you. We'll be getting the book before then. And we'll hopefully see you, if not before, see you back here at Madam Perry's Salon in February.
Thank you so much. I love
All
it.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate
All right.
it.
Okay, folks. Go ahead. You got a parting shot there?
No. Shout out to everybody out there. Angry Movie Guy, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it.
All right. So